Welcome to the Author Remake Podcast, where we interview authors who want to improve their book marketing. Today I'm excited because we're talking to Patrice Williams, author of So You Want to Be a Sensitivity Reader? Patrice is looking to make authors aware of sensitivity readers. We discuss what sensitivity reading is, when it's needed, and how Patrice can spread the word about it.
Hi, Patrice. I'm very excited to have you here on the Author Remake Podcast.
Oh, it's amazing to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So tell our listeners what you've got going on.
Well, I'm an author. I'm a founder of a nonprofit charity, and I'm also a sensitivity reader, and I believe that's why we're talking today. And in case people don't know what that is, a sensitivity reader is someone who reads manuscripts, novels, marketing materials, gaming scripts, screenplays, and the like, you know, for misrepresentation or bias, or maybe even sometimes racism. So it just depends on the type of character people have written into the story or the storyline. And if it's a type of person or people that they're unfamiliar with, they just simply use sensitivity readers as another tool, and they review the script for anything that may stick out to them.
Mm-hmm. Can you give some examples? I saw some great examples on your website of, you know, what exactly that can be.
Well, I can tell you what I've done personally. My last couple of projects that I had, I'll tell you about the last three without giving too much specifics in keeping up with the privacy of the people who submitted it. But I did have a short story that had a character who, the main character was not a minority, but he interacted with another character that was. And it was actually a really good story, very powerful. And it was somebody kind of going back to their roots. And he wanted to make sure that he had written the older black female character as somebody who wasn't stereotypical. And so that's why he contacted me. And so it was a really interesting read. The story was fascinating, by the way, really good. And I really enjoyed reading that. And I did point out a few things to him that did stick out for me. And as always, with any person who works with a sensitivity reader, they simply just give them suggestions and provide research, and then it's up to the person who've written the material to decide if they want to use the suggestions or not. Mm-hmm. And I've also worked with novelists on a children's book, which was, I can't wait for it to come out, actually. It's really good. It's about kids going back in time. And then I also recently read a script for a new game that's coming out. And so, and it had a black character in it. So, you know, it's really fun when you get these opportunities to help people out, you know, that seek your help.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's a great example that I read on your website, because I didn't really know what sensitivity readers were, you know, what that whole thing was about. And you have a great example, you know, you have a great homepage. And there's an example of lighter is better, that's sort of stuck. So can you explain that, what that was about?
Yes, that was actually for a Nivea ad. There are quite a few marketing agencies that are now looking for sensitivity readers because of ads like that. Nivea, the product, which I love, by the way, and it's actually a product that a lot of African Americans use. So it was surprising that they had made such a big misstep. They had a picture of an African American woman on a billboard, and the slogan was "Lighter is better." What they said they meant was that it was a lighter lotion that she used. But when you take that slogan and put it up against an African-American person, it's literally saying to the community that your skin color is better if it's lighter. Mm-hmm. And so it created a, you know, quite a big backlash, and they lost some dollars actually from the community from that. Mm-hmm. And they've done it a few times, and Dove has made a few mistakes as well. But, you know, it's not just to hold them accountable. It's, you know, it's just to let them know that, hey, this isn't going over so well with our community, and here's why. And if you'd like to do something about it or know why it hasn't, then, you know, work with the sensitivity reader. And it basically just saves them money, marketing materials, and sometimes even boycotts. There's another example that I don't have on my website, but it's part of my sensitivity reading course that I've created for people who want to become sensitivity readers. And it's actually a Chinese commercial of a woman who has a black boyfriend, and she's Chinese, and he's working in her house, and she ends up stuffing you know, dish soap into his mouth, and then stuffing him into a dish, into a washing machine. And then the washing machine runs, and then when it pops open, it's an Asian guy. And they didn't understand why we thought that was offensive. But to us, that was, you're getting rid of the dirt off of a black person.
Oh.
That's the bad. Now here's the good, you know, with the Chinese character popping up out of the washing machine. And it's just things like that, that in today's climate, you know, some people want to be aware of, and maybe want to take steps not to be so offensive.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I mean, these are fascinating examples for me, because, you know, I've always been into marketing. And these things, really fascinate me. So what about books? You know, somebody can, without really meaning to, offend a minority in a book. So do you have some examples of that happening?
Yes. And we're not saying that, you know, every book needs a sensitivity reader. It's just... another tool in the writer's, you know, tool belt. You know, if they're writing a character that they don't have experience with, they know nothing about, then they're just creating something, you know, off the top of their head that may not be authentic and may actually be, you know, negative towards that group. And so if they're interested in finding out if that's, you know, the case, then that's when they look for sensitivity readers. I'm sorry, I forgot your question.
You know, examples of books that...
Oh, yes.
You know, there, had that issue.
Yes, there was one that came out a couple of years ago. It was a children's book. And it was called, you know, A Birthday Cake for George Washington. And the title sounds actually pretty sweet to me. Mm-hmm. The cover, had people smiling on it. But this book cover created such a backlash that they ended up having to pull it from production. And the picture they had on it was George Washington with a African-American slave baker and his daughter, and they're holding the cake and they're all smiles. To the average person, it's like, oh, that's sweet. But to an African-American, it's as if you're saying that slavery was okay, that it was all smiles, that they had a great time baking cakes, you know, while they were enslaved people. And in fact, George Washington actually did have an African-American baker, but the story is so much different than the children's book. In fact, he suffered quite a bit, and it was such a horrible situation for him that he ran away and eventually had to leave his daughter in order to escape. So you can imagine how traumatic that is. And yet there's pictures of him holding a cake, standing next to his daughter, all smiles, you know, baking a cake for George Washington.
Mm. Yeah. So what happened? Did this, you know, was the book published and then there was this huge discussion?
Yes. Mm. Yes, it was published. Then quite a few people were upset about it. And so the publisher ended up stopping publication, pulling the books back that weren't sold. And I do not even believe that they even re-released it. There are some books that are like young adult books where they may have issues, but then what they do is they re-edit them and then re-release it. But I don't believe that one was re-released.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, you know, the main question that you had, I believe, is how you can make authors more aware about sensitivity, reading that something like this exists, and how you can, you know, help them, correct?
Yes. Basically, we were just letting authors know that it's another tool that they can use. They can choose to use it or not. You know, no one is telling them that they have to. So we don't want to stifle anybody's, you know, creativity. We just want them to know that this is an option that you have if you're concerned about the characters that you're writing that you don't have experience with. It's the same as if I created a television show that featured doctors, and I decided I was just going to write the script without ever being a doctor or speaking in detail to a doctor, and just writing what I think a doctor would say or do or act. That, you know, that show probably wouldn't get too far. Instead, what people do in that circumstance, they hire consultants, you know, to look over the script, to make changes so that it be as authentic as possible. And that's how sensitivity readers work. And so right now there are a handful, probably a little more than a handful, of sensitivity readers out there that work on a consistent basis. And, you know, I'm trying to increase that to, you know, hundreds of sensitivity readers so that if somebody wants to write a black gay character from Nigeria, that they can find a screenwriter who's gay and African, and that is a sensitivity reader. So that's what my goal is, to find people and train writers and authors and just anybody interested in the subject and who has the skills and the background and they've experienced certain things in their life that, you know, make them qualify to be a sensitivity reader. It's that's what my goal is, just to create more so that there's more people out there that are able to provide the service, even to unique stories.
Mm-hmm. So how are you, you know, marketing your business right now? So how are you spreading the word?
Yeah, so we're doing quite a few things. Of course, social media, you know, Twitter, Facebook, sometimes Instagram. You'll see postings. I write quite a bit on medium.com, different articles on sensitivity reading or articles about, you know, from an author's perspective. You'll see that. We just created a slide deck with a slideshare.com that explains what sensitivity reading is and if you're qualified to become one. We have an affiliate group that we have people who've signed up to become affiliates, and then they market the program on their websites, their blogs, and, you know, to their group or tribe. And we've posted YouTube videos, we've done a few Facebook ads, and this is the course is actually fairly new. We've done a soft launch about 2 months ago, and we've had a handful of beta students come through the program, but we're going to be doing a full-blown launch in the next month and a half. And then you'll see more of it.
Mm-hmm. So how do you help authors who need sensitivity reading? You have the course and you can also do it, right?
Yes. I'm a sensitivity reader myself. I was before I created the course. And I've actually, before it was even called sensitivity reading, I used somebody as a sensitivity reader and didn't even realize that's what I was doing. It was for a screenplay that I had written, and it was based on a true story of a British explorer during the 1800s who came across a slave block in Bulgaria, and he was shocked to see this Hungarian woman on the slave block. So he actually bought her freedom, and they eventually fell in love, and they went on this epic adventure to discover the source of the Nile, which was very important at the time, because the Nile was a source for life, and it had never been done before. And so I just found the story very fascinating, everything that they went through. But I'm not Hungarian. I'm not British. And I did as much research as I could about these two individuals online and actually through my Library of Congress in Washington, D.C. There was some information, but I had to do more. So I actually contacted the Royal Geographical Society in London, and they allowed me to review personal manuscripts that both had written during their expedition on the Nile. And so I was able to do that. And because of that, I was actually put in touch with family members, descendants from this couple. And I met with them in Salisbury, England. And I'll never forget it. It was so fascinating to hear stories that I wasn't able to dig up online. And they were so willing to share everything that they had. And after I had written the screenplay, I actually sent it to them and had them look it over and see if I had any missteps, you know, got anything wrong. And I actually did. And so they pointed out a few things. I made the changes and went from there. And that's actually what a sensitivity reader is. And so it's not just for minority characters or people from the LGBTQ community or little people, but it can be for anything that you don't have experience with.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
Patrice, I was wondering, do you have a book about sensitivity reading?
That's a good question, and right now I don't. I just have the courses. And I have a free 7-day email course. And I've actually put that 7-day email course in an ebook, but it's only offered to people who take the email course. And so that's a book, but it's just something put together for the 7-day. It's not something I've listed on Amazon or Barnes and Noble or anything.
Why not?
It's because I've been so busy with my own writing and having to do sensitivity reads for authors and for gaming companies, and then creating the course. I just haven't had the time to add that as well. But it's definitely on my radar. I believe.
Yeah, you know, I think it would really move the needle for you if you had that book, you know, published it on Amazon, made it permanently free, you know, optimized it for Amazon searches so that when somebody's looking for this topic, your book pops. And then, you know, they read the book, and then inside the book, you invite them to sign up for that email course. So, you know, they get to your website, they get into your funnel, and from there, you can invite them to do your course or, you know, to hire you. So I think that would be a fantastic lead generator for you.
That's an excellent idea. Maybe it should come to the very front of the burner instead of the back burner for me. Yes.
Because it looks like you have the whole funnel out. I mean, you have the free, you have the opt-in, you have the free course, you have the paid course, you have the one-on-one. So, you know, just, it would really allow you to get more people in, and, you know, it looks like you're doing ads and, you know, posting on social media, but many people, you're missing the people who are actively looking for, you know, a solution to their problem on Amazon. You know, many people know that, especially authors, they know that books change lives. So it's pretty natural that they'd go on Amazon to look for the solution, you know, not only, you know, a search engine, but to Amazon. And then if your book is there, and especially if you're one of the first to do that, then you really become mayor of this category. And I haven't done much research on it, but, you know, is there, are there any books on this topic?
No.
Well, and you could really be the first, and you could be a pioneer. And it's always, you know, the player who enters a niche first always has an advantage over, you know, all the other players that come next.
Yes, that's why I created the course, because I hadn't seen anything like it. And I was actually getting some requests for sensitivity reads for niches that I wasn't qualified to read for. So I thought, you know what, we need more sensitivity readers. And so that's why I created the course initially. But definitely that is an avenue that I need to take advantage of.
Okay, so the course is for people who want to become sensitivity readers.
Yes, the course is for people who want to become. And then we've also created a database where people who have gone through the course, they can sign up. And then that database is available to anybody on our website, you know, if they're looking for a sensitivity reader right now. They can go there and try to find one. And if there isn't one, if there, somebody actually had contacted me recently and said she wanted a sensitivity reader who was Swahili, and I couldn't provide that, but that doesn't mean I won't have one in the future. So I told her to keep checking that database, you know, once a month or so, you know, as we add new students to it who are qualified to a sensitivity read. And the database is pretty simple. You just search according to the area that you're looking for.
So Patrice, you basically are or can be a market maker. So, you know, on one side you have all the sensitivity readers, so, you know, people who do that job. And on the other side, you need to have all the authors who need their books, you know, read by sensitivity readers. Mm-hmm. So this way you're matching two groups that, you know, go together. So whenever you're like a market maker like that, you know, you're really in a winning position. So just to give you an example, you know, with Library Bub, I match authors with librarians, and, you know, the authors want to get their books into libraries, and librarians are interested about, you know, new releases and, you know, books. So, you know, I get to be the market maker in that situation, and and you get to be the market maker in your situation. So it just really looks like you need to really develop that author angle. So, you know, when I said put a book on Amazon, I was thinking about the target audience as authors, because then, you know, this way you get clients for, you know, sensitivity readers.
That's what I had in mind too. was targeting authors. But you don't even have to, which I will put in the book, and which is through my funnel, throughout my funnel, is you don't have to be an author to be a sensitivity reader. You can just be an avid reader. You love books, and you know you have a knack for writing. You know, those are some of the key ingredients.
Yeah, sure. But the authors will hire the sensitivity readers.
Yes, that is true. Yeah. They are a big market share. I get more authors coming to me than I do gamers, you know, or marketing companies. But I still get those, definitely more authors.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. I like it. You know, and then another opportunity would be to, you know, go where authors already hang out. So, you know, speak with influencers, go to podcasts, what you're doing right now. You know, make the subject known. So, you know, you're already doing that. And a lot of authors will be exposed to sensitivity reading through this episode. But basically, you know, the best thing to do is, you know, to partner more with people who already hang out with authors and to do that book. I think that would really, you know, allow you to scale your business.
Yes. And I have done some guest posts on different author websites and book websites as well, like Fussy Librarian has a couple of my articles on their website. And there's probably 3-4 more places that focus on, you know, book sales for indie authors that host my articles, but I'm definitely want to expand upon that.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. Very cool, Patrice. So where can people find you?
Well, you can find me, if you want to find me personally as a sensitivity reader or an author, you can go to my website, patricewilliamsmarks.com. Or if you're interested in becoming a sensitivity reader, you can go to sensitivityreviews.com. And there you'll find the free course you can sign up for. There's a mini course that has the first 3 modules, and then there's a standard course and a certified course. So you can, you know, go on the website and see which one best fits you. But most people start out with a free course so you can get a taste for what it is. And with each course, I actually have posted a video that gives you a look inside what the course looks like once you're logged in. And that video is about 8 minutes or so. So that'll give you an even more information on what you'll be learning.
Perfect. All right, Patrice. Well, this has been really fascinating, a new topic for me, and I bet for many authors who'll be listening to this. So now we're more aware. We know, you know, what you do, and I personally know authors who need your services. So I've already told them about you, and you know, I'll keep sending you people who, you know, have issues that you can help solve.
That sounds good. And likewise, I will be sending people your way as well. Can you mention a few of your services again before we sign off?
Well, you know, the best place to send people is to authorremake.com to get a free course on book marketing, or to authorwisdom.com where they can get a free guide, my free award-winning guide, How I Sold 80,000 Books. So that's the best way, you know, for me to start a relationship with authors.
Excellent. Will do.
All right. Super, Patrice. Well, then thank you so, so much. And
I'm
very excited to be working together as we move forward.
Likewise. And I really appreciate your advice. And you're going to see something on Amazon in 3 months or less.
Wonderful. That's so great. All right. Well, then have a wonderful day. And thank you so much, Patrice.
Oh, you're welcome. Take care.
And here we have it, another fantastic episode of the Author Remake Podcast. If you're an author looking to improve your marketing, download my award-winning guide, How I Sold 80,000 Books, at authorwisdom.com. If you'd like to have conversations like this with me on a regular basis, email me at alinka@authorremake.com and put one-on-one in the subject line. If you'd like to become part of the Author Remake Mastermind, in which we work on cutting-edge marketing strategies, email me at alinka@authorremake.com and put Author Remake Mastermind in the subject line. If you'd like to be a podcast guest, email me at alinka@authorremake.com and put Author Remake Podcast Guest in the subject line.